All right. Well, good morning. Man, so glad everyone's here. I know it's a holiday weekend, so you could be just about anywhere, but you chose to be here. So thank you for that. For our people that are watching online, thank you for tuning in. As you know, or as you may have seen, we have changed our sermon series, and we're done with Matthew, and we're spending our summer in Psalms, and we are talking about knowing God. And I'm very excited. As you can tell, the title of this sermon is the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me, especially as the children's pastor. I'm very excited because for us to know God, it's important for us to know, well, how do we know God? How do we learn about God? And that's where the Bible is so crucial. Today we're going to be in Psalm 119. Don't worry, we're not going to go through all of Psalm 119. We're just going to be in 25 through 32. So as you flip there, I'm going to give you guys a quick rundown of what I want today's sermon to look like. The goal is to work through verses 25 through 32. And after that, I want to spend a lot of time on application. I want us to learn and to see what it looks like to get into God's Word. And so let's go ahead and dive in to Psalm 119, 25 through 32. It says this: "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." Before we break it down, let's spend some time in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth, God. Thank you so much for sending something down so that we can read it and learn about who you are, your character, your actions. God, thank you for sending that to us. God, thank you for loving us. God, as we read the text today, I pray that you'll get me out of the way, and Lord, let the Spirit speak and let the Spirit work. God, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for your word. And we're thankful that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, today's big idea is God desires for us to know him, so he gave us his word. God desires for us to know him, so he gave us his word. It's right here. It's right in front of all of you. If you look in the pew in front of you, there's a Bible. For most of you, if you look in your pocket, you also have a Bible. The Bible is one of the most accessible books that you can ever get. So let's use it, let's read it, and let's know God. As we get into the text, we're going to see that God's word does four things for us. Four things. The first thing that God's word does is it gives life. Psalm 119, 25 and 26 says this: "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes." This was a pretty easy point to come up with. It tells us in verse 25 that give me life according to your word. I don't have to be a creative person to see that. And so when we look at this passage and when we look at Psalms specifically, I think it's important for us to understand that this is poetic. It's a poem, it's a song. And so for us to fully understand what verse 25 means, we have to read it through the lens of poetry. And so when it's talking about my soul clinging to dust, we have to understand that this dust is basically death. It's useless. And the concept is that my soul is weary and exhausted and I'm tired, and God, I just feel dead. Whether this is depressed, whether this is anxious, whether this is useless, the psalmist here is saying, I am tired and inside I'm dead. And that's a hard place to be, where you just feel dead inside. But the psalmist gives us an answer to that. Second part of verse 25, give me life according to your word. So when we feel that death, when we feel that depression, that tough times in our life are coming on, where can we run to find life? The word. God's word gives us life. We see in verse 26, it says, I told of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. It's, God, I'm going through this. I'm tired. I am depressed. I am dead inside. Just teach me your statutes. Force it onto me. I want to know your ways. Teach me. And in that, give me life. So we see that the Bible gives life. But secondly, God's word gives direction. Psalm 119, 27 says this, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Now, Matt will come up here and he'll tell you the Greek and Hebrew, but I had to look up English. I did not necessarily know what a precept was. So we had a good time doing that. But fortunately, I have a study Bible, and it says a precept is what God has appointed to be done. What God has appointed to be done. It's this path that he has laid out for us. And so in verse 27, when it says, make me understand the way of your precepts, it's, hey, make me understand the way of your path. Make me understand the plan that you have for me. What do you have laid out? So the picture that we're painting is this psalmist that is struggling. They feel dead inside, but they've opened God's word and they found life. And now that they have life, they're saying, God, I don't know where to go. Give me direction. And that's what God's word does, is it gives direction. I love the second part. It says, I will meditate on your wondrous works. What we can do is we can look back and we can see how God has got us to the point that we're in and how he hasn't failed us then and he won't fail us yet. When I was looking at the precepts and the path and thinking, all right, well, God's word reveals the plan for us. I went back to, we just had grad Sunday recently, and these graduates, they at some point were thinking about what college are they going to go to. If you're in college, you're thinking about, well, what do I want to get a degree in? What do I want to do with my life? Especially when you're moving off to college, there's a whole new community. For adults, maybe we're having a shift in job or buying a house or other life circumstances, we're not going to be able to open up God's word and it say, hey, you need to go to UGA and you need to graduate with this degree and then you should meet these people and get involved in this club and from there you're going to apply to this job. Like that's not, you're not going to find that in the Bible. But what it does is it gives us a lens which we should be making decisions through. And so when we talk about understanding the precepts and the plan that God has for us, we can understand God's way, what God wants for our lives. And so we can view our life through that lens, and that is how he prepares the plan for us. So God's life gives us, or God's word gives us life. It gives us direction. Next, God's word gives strength. So let's look in Psalm 119, 28. It says, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, it's a pretty simple passage, and it may remind you of Psalm 119:25, where it says, my soul clings to dust. It's this idea of, man, I'm just in despair. It's just hard. Things are tough. But what's different is, as we see this, the progression of this psalmist, they already have life, and they already have direction. Now what we need is strength. It made me think of a hike. I enjoy hiking. I enjoy backpacking. It's been a long time since I've done it. And I'm at the point now where if I hop on the trail and I've got a 40-pound backpack and I'm about a mile and a half in, I'm tired. I'm done. It's not for me anymore. I need to get back to it. But this idea of, all right, I'm a mile and a half in and I'm tired and I'm exhausted and now I'm looking for campsites. We've been there. But we have life, we have direction, we've got a map, we know where we're going. What we need now is strength. And so in the case of this psalmist, they're saying, God, you have restored life, you've given me a purpose, you've shown me direction, now help me to get there. God, give me the strength so that I can do what you've called me to. It's not always easy. But when we open God's word, his word gives strength. And the fourth thing, God's word gives hope. This is a bigger chunk of passage, but Psalm 119, 29 through 32 says this: put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Now, when we think of God's word giving us hope, let's take this line by line. Verse 29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. There's hope in I'm no longer filled mentally with everything that's false. Remember the progression of this psalmist. Things were hard. I felt dead. I needed direction. I needed life. I needed strength. All of that I was going through, cast that aside and fill me with your law. Fill my mind with your word. There's hope that God can and will do that. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I've set your rules before me. We know that God is a faithful God. I think of Abraham, the promise that God gave to Abraham. More children than the stars in the sky. Well, how could Abraham trust in that promise? It's because of what God had done before. There's faithfulness to Abraham. God was faithful to him, and he will continue to be faithful. And we can have hope in the faithfulness of God. And then 31, I love verse 31. It says, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. And the reason I love verse 31 is it takes me back to verse 25. Verse 25 said, my soul clings to the dust. There's hope that we're not going to be in the dust forever. That if we cling to God's testimonies, we won't be put to shame. There's hope that God can save us. But where do we find all this? In his word. In its word. It's crucial that we are spending time in God's word. Because we see that God's word gives us these four things. It gives us life, direction, strength, and hope. These are things that I want for myself. These are things that I want for you as a church family. But these are things that I want for everybody, whether they're a believer or not. I want them to have life, direction, strength, and hope. Because where can you find that? In God's word. But now we're at the point where we have to figure out, all right, well, what does it look like to get into God's word? So let's take action. First point, take action. When we talk about taking action, it's a verb. It means we have to be active. That means things might change. It means lifestyle might change. The way we think might change. But we have to be active and we have to take action. We have to do. And the first thing that we have to do is when we get into God's word, we have to pray. Let's look back at the psalm. The psalmist is saying, give me life. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Put false things far from me. I cling to your testimonies. It's this prayer. God, I want to understand. So when we get into God's word, we have to be very honest and say, God, I may not understand everything that you reveal to me, but I know that you can help me. And so as we take action and as we get into God's word, it's important that we pray. Now, it doesn't have to be this long, elaborate prayer with big words and fancy lingo. It's just plain and simple. God, teach me. God, help me understand. God, show me the way. This is a prayer that a five-year-old can pray. It's the prayer of a child. Lord, give me a childlike faith and just teach me. Help me understand. That's what our prayers should look like getting into God's word. Teach me. Make me understand your statutes. The second thing that we have to do when we're taking action is we have to read. And here's the thing about reading, is it's not something that we can just fit into our schedule. We can't just fit reading into the schedule, because if we try and fit something into the schedule, it's very likely that it'll get squeezed out. Because if you're anything like my family was growing up, I mean, we had three kids that had three different sports and two different instruments, and they had to be at 10 places all at the same time, and there's only two drivers. Sometimes there's only one driver. And then once somehow all the kids make it back home, then you have to do laundry and clean and do the dishes and cook and put the kids to bed and read to them and help them with homework. Your schedule's full. There's no squeezing reading in. No. When we read, we have to revolve our life around it. That's the action. We have to change things. When we read, it can be difficult. How many of y'all are readers? Anybody in here love reading? All right, I see there we go, a few more people. All right, some of y'all love to read, and that is great. It's going to really help y'all. I read a lot growing up, and then I got into like late middle school and high school and college, and I read what the teacher told me to read, and that was about it. I did not do much reading for fun, but I tell you what, when I read God's Word, it's different. There's something different about getting in the Word of God. And I can tell when I haven't been reading God's Word, when I haven't been learning about who God is, when I haven't been knowing God. It's like eating, you know. Eating, it gives you these nutrients that you need to push on. If I wake up one morning and I say, all right, I'm going to skip breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I'm going to go to bed and wake up the next day, and I'm going to skip breakfast, lunch, and dinner again, and I'm preparing to run a marathon the day after that, your body can't do that. You don't have the nutrients. You don't have the energy. You'll be tired and broken down before you even get to the starting line. And God's Word is the exact same way. When we realize we're missing a meal, our stomach rumbles. We begin to get hungry. It's that calling back to, hey, you need this. And God's Word does the same thing. When you spend time in God's Word and you start to get excited about it, you can tell when you haven't been in it. You feel different. You act different. And so getting in God's Word is imperative. We have to get into God's Word. But like I said, we can be busy sometimes. It's hard. A few of y'all are parents. We drive our kids to school. On that drive to school, spend some time reading God's Word. Spend some time doing that. Maybe your kid can't read yet, all right? That's okay. Read it to them. Or if you're driving, don't read it to them. And instead, use the Bible app, plug in your phone into the aux cord, and let the Bible app read it to you. If you have a smartphone, you have access to that. We talked about cleaning and cooking and driving and being all these places. You have the most accessible book in your pocket, and it's an audio book too. Use it. Use it. You're getting in God's Word. You're understanding who He is. Now, maybe sometimes you have more time, or maybe you are a very scholarly person, or you're an academic. Some of us aren't that way, but some of us are. And so spend that time, if you have it, man, really digging into God's Word. What does this word mean in the Greek? What does it mean in the Hebrew? How many times does it say this in the passage? And really just study God's Word. And there are going to be times in life where you can do one of these two things. And I pray when you have time to study, study. When you don't have time to study, don't let God's Word fall to the wayside, but put it in front of you at all times. We have the technology. We have the ability. We have to read God's Word. And finally, the third point is meditate. Now, when we think of meditating, I think sometimes it's easy to think of the Eastern idea of sitting there and resting and clearing everything out of your head and just being empty-minded. That's not what we're going for here. It reminds me Let me find it. Verse 29. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. It's this idea of like resting in who God is and allowing God's word to just sit in your mind. When I thought about meditating, I thought about John 3:16. Not necessarily because of, not because it mentions meditation, but because it's easy for me to meditate on that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what I can do in this time of meditation is I can sit there and I can say, man, God loved the world. He didn't just love me. He didn't just love my neighbor. He loved everybody. And I can rest in that love. But not only did he love us, he loved us to the point that he sent his one and only son. There was a sacrifice that was made. And I can rest in the assurance that God loves me so much that he willingly gave his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And I can rest in that. When times are hard, God loves us. When times are great, God still loves us. And there's a peace and a serenity in meditating and slowing down and just resting in what God's word says. And so as we do these things, we should be praying, we should be reading, and we should be meditating on God's word. But the second thing we need to do is we need to have accountability. Now, if you grew up in the youth group, a lot of times you heard about an accountability partner. It's kind of what this is, because what it is it's someone that's walking alongside you as you're reading. Now, this could be anybody from your family to a friend that's halfway across the world, because we have the technology nowadays that we can shoot someone a text and say, hey, did you read this morning? Hey, what'd you read this morning? And so the first thing we should be doing is we should be reading with someone. Read with someone. Whether that's your family, which I really encourage you to do. I encourage you to sit down and spend time in God's word with your family. Or whether you're reading something with a friend. Hey, we're going through Psalm. We're going through Psalm together. You can text that friend. Or maybe you and another family read the same thing together. There are opportunities for us to have accountability as we read together. Now, as we read together, I've already kind of hit on it, but we need to talk. Talk about what you're reading. Communicate. Now, here's a prime example of where this came in handy for me. As I was preparing the sermon today, I was reading through Psalm 119, specifically 25 through 32, and I couldn't get off this idea that it was about salvation and sanctification. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you guys through the process that is the mind of Eric, which could be a scary place, but here we go. Psalm 119, verse 25, this is how I read it. I said, my soul clings to the dust, give me life according to your word. My understanding was, my soul is clinging to what is dead. My desire is for what is dead. This is what I used to love. This idea of everything is going to go to dust one day. My soul is clinging to that, clinging to the world. But there's a realization that it's going to end. So God, give me life according to your word. Verse 26, when I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. It's confession. God, forgive me for living for dust. I want to live according to your word. I want to know you. I want to follow you. Teach me your statutes. I don't know this yet. I'm a baby believer. I need to understand what your word is. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new at this. Show me the way I should go. Teach me how to live my life. And as I do that, I will meditate on what you've done. I'll look back at your word. I'll look at how you've laid my life out. And teach me how I should live my life now that I am a believer. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. This idea where my soul is just, it's hard. Anytime you accept, when you accept Christ, your life should change. It's a lifestyle change. So life changes, habits change, friends change. There's a lot of change in salvation, as there should be. It's not easy. Soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me. God, strengthen me. Your word gives me strength as I make these changes and as I grow closer to you. 29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. All this that I used to think, that I used to believe, I don't want that anymore. Give me something new. Teach me your word. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. God, now that I know who you are, now that you've laid a plan out for me, I have chosen faithfulness. This is the path that I'm going to live. I no longer cling to dust, but I cling to your testimonies. And I used to live this way, but let me not be put to shame, because now I'm a new creation, and I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. So as I was reading this, all I could think of was, man, this is the picture of someone who used to live in this world, but God saved them through grace and strengthened them through his word, and now they're learning to grow more like Christ. And I couldn't get that out of my head. So I walked over to Matt's office, got a question for you, Pastor. So I walk in and I say, hey, I just want to make sure I'm not just way out in left field with this. And that's, I can go to him because, one, we're reading the same thing. So now it's time to talk about it. Am I missing something? Am I reading too deep into it? Because it's a psalm, it's a poem. We can do that sometimes. And sit down and say, Matt, this is what I'm reading. And he goes, yeah, I can see how you got there. That's not a great start. I can see how you got there, but this is what I got. And you guys heard already what he got, because that's what I preached earlier. And so it's this is what I got. And now we're having this conversation. Neither one of those things are off base for God. As we grow to be more like him, yes, we need to get in his word. This process of sanctification requires us to be in God's word. As we grow more like Christ, we have to know who we're growing to be like. However, in times of sorrow, in times of sadness, in times of despair, we have to turn to God's word so we can have strength, so we can have hope. And this is where point three, use commentaries. So what a commentary is it's basically a fancy resource. Matt has them. We have some in the library. But we're sitting there, and now we're at a crossroads where, hey, both of these things, I mean, potentially could be right. But, I mean, he's the pastor for a reason. So we pull out a commentary, and we open the first one. And it says, you know, some people could read it like sanctification. Once again, not a great start, because then it says most people read it like that. A psalmist that is going through a hard time, they know who God is, and so they can turn to his word. So the first commentary said both. Let's pull off a second commentary. The second commentary then basically fully agrees with what Pastor Matt said, and it's this idea that, hey, it's someone that's a believer that's struggling, going through a hard time. They know that God's word is there, and they turn back to it because it gives life, direction, strength, and hope. So use extra resources. We have a library right up the hallway. Use it. They would love for you to use it. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, hop in there. They would love to see your face pulling a commentary off the shelf. I would love to see you pulling a commentary off the shelf. Pastor Matt has commentaries. He can make recommendations. We have extra resources that you can use if you are confused about what God's word is saying. Use them. That's a part of accountability. Because there are thousands of people that have studied God's word for thousands of years. We are not, believe it or not, we are not the first people to study God's word. So use past preachers and teachers to understand what God's word says for us today. So now we've talked about action. We've talked about accountability. Finally, the last one, it's just one blank line, no subpoints, application. It does us no good to sit here and read God's word and not apply what we're learning. We're never going to escape the book of Matthew because I'm going to refer to it right now. In the beginning of Matthew, we see God in the wilderness. We see Jesus in the wilderness, and he's fasting for 40 days, and then Satan comes to tempt him. And as Satan tempts Jesus, we see Satan use God's own word against him. Okay, so Satan knows the word of God. What makes us different? If we're spending time in his word, if we're reading it, well, what makes us different is we're hopefully applying God's word. So as we read Psalm 119, are we begging to know who God is because we love him and we want a relationship with him? Are we seeing in Matthew 28 where we should go and make disciples? Are we actually going and doing those things? As we read God's word, we have to apply it to our lives. It is so, so, so important that as we go out, we are applying what we're learning. Because as we read God's word, we know who God is and we know the plans that he has for us. So why would we not want to live in those plans? This morning, if you have questions or if you want to know more, maybe you're ready to take the next step of faith, we're going to have some pastors that are up front that would love to talk to you. I pray this week that as we meditate on God's word, we can be active in living it out. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word, for the truth that's in it, for the encouragement, Lord, for the life, the strength, the direction, and the hope that we see in your word. God, I pray that as we read it, we can live it out, be encouraged by it, and Lord, encourage others. Lord, we know what your word does for us. We know how it changes our lives. God, I pray that you continue to remind us of that. God, give us joy as we go out today and live out your word. Lord, thank you for loving us. It's your son's name we pray. Amen.